Father, this night we give you thanks for loving us the way that you do, for telling us the truth, and giving us the chance to change. Lord, in every heart that's here, there is a need, there is a reason. We have come to honor you. And Lord, you are honored when we surrender our lives and pray that you are glorified. Accept that heart as we invite you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Network. The dictionary defines that word this way: an open work, fabric, or structure in which cords, threads, or wires cross at regular intervals. Listen to that dictionary definition one more time. The word is network. An open work, fabric, or structure in which cords, threads, or wires cross at regular intervals. This church is a network. Why? It's lines, it's links, it's a nexus, it's a knot where we come into this place and there's this information and this inspiration and this integration at an intersection. And we know it requires relationship. It's relationship to God, and then of course, as He links into my life, it's an extension of that great grace into, well, tonight, it's your life. And this is a network. Because as you, in turn, are being blessed and touched, I'm aware of that. It encourages me all the more. I then maintain my connection, and we grow as His Spirit flows, willing to do His work and willing to do it His way. So how does it happen? This relationship that He ordains and orders and orchestrates? Well, we're in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, in the first verse we read, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You're already clean because the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." How does it happen? First word, if you're taking note, it's a connection. It's a connection. Again, that's why you're here. It's why I'm here. We know here in the house of God, we can link, we can line with Him. Here's how. You see this potted plant? Well, this potted plant is going to need to sustain and maintain its growth. The way that it'll accomplish that, if it's here, I'm going to have to link and line to a water supply. So I have a pipe, PVC. 3/4 inch. Now, if I had a resource, water, and I linked it to it, now I connect it to it. Through the connection, I now have a sprinkling system, and out of a hose that runs through the potted plant, I am able to see that plant grow. But without the connection? Without the connection, how long is that tree going to last? How long is that plant going to stay looking that lush? Well, I would submit to you that tomorrow it's going to look a little worn. By this weekend it'll look a little withered. And by next week these leaves are going to come off of this tree. They'll be laying around the base of it and it will look like it's drying out, dying out. It's on its way to the trash heap, to the fire pile. Christian, listen, listen, listen. There was a time in your life where you did not have a connection to God. There was no link to a divine resource. And because of that, you were looking for something. You kept on trying to satisfy that part of your heart that was screaming for, I need more! I need something! There's got to be something in life where I feel like I'm living. I'm just existing. There's got to be more. And you, like this plant, apart from that source, a little dry, a little empty, a little parched, a little... Is this all there is to life? And if this is all there is to life, and I get up in the morning and I work, and then I work all day, and then I go to bed at night, and then I, you know, wake up the next morning and I go to work, and then I go to bed at night, and then on the weekends I'm still searching for something that satisfies, and I go to this club and I hang out at this bar, and I'm still looking for something, and I go home and only to look forward to Monday morning, and then I'll go back to work again and do this thing, and I live for my weekends, but my weekends aren't that much fun because it's almost like they're this little mini series of revolving people that I think are gonna satisfy my life, only to discover they don't do anything that I'm hoping they'll do for me because they're only interested in their selves, and I guess I'm only interested in myself, and so I find myself just, I need something! And at just the right time, that something flows right from Calvary's cross, man, into your body. What was that? I know exactly what that was. Jesus said, are you thirsty? If any man thirsts, let him come to me. And out from his innermost being will flow torrents of living water. And now you're connected. Connected how? Jot it down. It's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible declares, we love him because he first loved us. Why are you here tonight? You're here because he loves you. And you know he loves you, and you know he has a plan for your life. And because he first loved you and extended himself in your direction, now you link to him, and that link of love keeps you connected, man. I mean, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to not be here. I show up for all the Bible studies here at Calvary Chapel. Why? Four services on weekend and two on Wednesday night. Because you're here. I really like you. I know I could actually do the videotape thing from time to time and you'd handle it, but I would really rather hang and be here and have a chance to say hi and connect. Why? There's life here. There's life in you. And if there's life in me, because there's life in him, we share this life and that is our common bond. And again, that is our connection. How? Well, because again, in the first verse of John chapter 15, he clearly describes the who that it is. He is the true vine. True vine. When you circle the words for true, and close by write truthful, because it's not just a matter of him being true, and that he's genuine, authentic, and real, but it's also a matter of him being truthful, and that he's honest and holy and forthright. So when you come to him, he's going to tell you the truth, and he's going to do it in such a genuine, real, authentic way that you'll know that what he's delivering to you is a resource. It's like a vine. Its strength and its stamina and its substance, so that you know that you know that you know. You got a connection, and there's nothing like having a connection. Do you need a connection? I remember when I was in the record business years ago, I was connected. Because of who I knew other people that knew other people that knew other people. And with my connection, I could get other things connected, you know. And because I work for Capitol Records and I had access to all the records on Capitol Records label, you need a Beatles record? That's Capitol, man. You need a Beatles catalog? Okay. Who are you working for? And the guy at Warner Brothers would give me tapes and albums, and I working for Capitol would give him, and I had probably by far the greatest record collection available to man because I was connected and I knew people who were connected, and our connections meant connections for connections. Are you connected? Now think it through. I'll give an example. My CD player broke in my car. I need a connection. I don't know if anyone knows how to repair them. I called the car dealership and they said to me, yeah, we'll fix it for you. It's $350. We'll just take out the old one, put in a new one. No, I'm not going to pay that kind of money. There's got to be somebody who can fix it. I'm not going to pay that kind of money. Then they fix it and they sell it to somebody else for $350. That's not what's going to happen. But I need a connection. Now again, if you're here and you know how to fix CD players, see me right after service. You can take my car tomorrow and we'll fix that. But I need a connection. All right, here's my point. Now, let's say for a moment I have a connection. And you say, well, I have a connection. I say, well, you have a connection and I feel connected. Why do I feel connected? Because you have something that I don't have, and I need that. Now, what better connection there can be than the connection to God, who knows everyone and has everything? If I'm connected to Him, do you know how great a connection that is? Oh, wow, I'm connected. So now, when you go out, fill up a job application, it says references right there on the top. God, I know God. I know God. You know God? Can I call him?
Talk to him. Ask him about me. We're connected, man. Whew,
you're connected. That's a pretty good connection. And it truly, truly is. Why? Because I've discovered in life, at just the right time, for all the right reasons, more important than a broken CD player, God will connect me. And when you have a need in your life and somebody else is able to meet that need, and you didn't even know that they knew that you had the need, and God just makes the connection. This is a network that has to do with His net worth. And because He has it all, when you're connected to Him who has it all, now you find that you have more than you could ask, think, or imagine. Because that's what He promised in His Word. Connection. I don't know of a better. What happens then next? It's the second half of that same first verse. What did we read? He said, I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. The second word, if you're taking note, is direction. And that's what, of course, happens next. There is a connection for the purpose of direction. Because direction comes when He, as the vine dresser, begins to guide and lead in your life. You see, you came here, why? To do your will? No, you came here tonight to do His will and find it and discover it. Why? You've also come to discover that He is really, really good at leading and guiding in life. Because what He wants to do is He molds and shapes you, is make you much more attractive and much more appealing. How does He do that? Well, it's the phrase or the words vine dresser, vine dresser. Circle that this time. You could close by where write the word farmer or land worker, or here's the old King James. Ready for the old King James word? Husbandman. Husbandman. We don't use that word very often. No, it's Old English coming from Old Icelandic. Listen to what that word means. Husbandman. We gain insight into the history of the word husband by considering the Old English word husband, meaning mistress of the house. However, when you go from the Old English, now moving into the Old Icelandic, we find out husboni, meaning the master of the house. The master of the house. Now listen to the way that it reads. I am the true vine, and my Father is the master of the house. This is His house. You are His children. You are His sons and daughters. He wants to master your life. Master? You couldn't ask for a better master. Why? Connection, He's got it all. And now direction, He is now going to do work on you, dressing it up so you're attractive and appealing. And the more attractive and appealing you are to mankind, the more you find favor with man. And the more you find favor with man, the more you find out that because you're a Christian, listen to this, you are a very promotable person. Promotable how? Well, some of you are looking for that someone special in life, and I say to you, you let the Lord dress you up, and you become very, very attractive to them. Now, if you don't let Him dress you up, you can see, in this case, we've got a few kind of like hairy-looking, kind of scraggly things on the trunk of this tree, and those things probably need to be cleaned up and dressed up a little bit. We can kind of start to straighten this thing up and make it look much more attractive and much more appealing. Now, you'll also notice that the trunk on this tree has got an unusual shape. That didn't happen just naturally. The husbandman, whoever was the husbandman to this tree, when it was just a sprout, begin to take the little trunk and then shape it in such a way, grafting it, allowing it to turn like that. So we come back here and go, look at the trunk of that. How'd they do that? Well, you can keep on doing that. We'll actually take these and bend them in such a way. We can keep on doing that to make it more and more attractive, more and more appealing. People go, I like that. Now, what then was it that attracted my wife's eye to me when I was a single Christian? Let me tell you what it was. Ready? Everything. Say, Bob, that's a little arrogant. No, 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 no. Listen, there were things about me that weren't so attractive, and as I had given my life to Christ, He started fixing things up on me. Oh, we came to finances, came to caring for others, came to caring for kids. Oh, all those things started to change in me. So now she's meeting this guy who at that time was not Pastor Bob, but was Mr. Bob, and used to have this Saturday morning outreach to all the kids at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, and I'd do little skits, and I'd do funny plays, and the kids would all laugh, and she'd look on at me saying, "He will make an incredible daddy." And then she'd see me reach out to people who were in need. And she said, "He's just a really nice guy." Now know this. Had she met me just a few years earlier, she would have not wanted to spend any time with me at all because I was so self-serving and so self-centered. Jesus Christ made me more attractive and prepared me to meet my mate. The same thing happens in all of our lives when we come to Christ, where He looks on at where we're at and He says, "You know what? If you really want to give me your life, I'll take it, but there's some things I'm going to start doing here. I'll be the husbandman, and as the husbandman, I'll start to labor, and I'll start to farm, and I'll start to dress, and I'll start to, well, hey, take a look at that now. Yeah, you're connected, but now there's some direction." Direction? Here's the way that it reads. Jot it down in Proverbs chapter 3, starting in 5, 6, and 7. "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight." What's happening with this tree? The only reason this tree trunk can look this attractive way is that it had to yield to the hand of the husbandman. If it didn't yield, it certainly wouldn't be like it looks today. In the same way, the branches. If I'm the husbandman, I'll say, "Hey, you know what? This is a little dark over here, and I want this to have a little bit more light, so I'm going to shine a little bit more light on this so it can have greater growth, and that's what I'll do over there. Let me see what else I'm going to do over here. Over here, I'll get greater growth over here. Do you understand that because He's a good God and because He's a great God, He's got a great plan for your life, and it's also a good plan? The Bible says that His will for your life is good, acceptable, and pleasing. That right now this branch would love to be, and this pot wants to be in the hands of a caring husbandman." The problem? When the husbandman reaches in and begins to move things around, there's a tendency for us to say, hey, what are you doing? "I'm the husbandman. I'm going to make some change." What are you doing? "I'm going to change some things around." No, don't be doing anything like that. Why not? I got a plan for this. It's my creation. I know what I will for this. I know what I want for this. Yeah, but I don't know if you... No. Here's what I need to do. I'm going to move this here and move this here. Oh, watch and see what happens now. No! The only reason you'd say no is this. You don't trust the Lord with all your heart. And you are leaning on your own understanding. You still have a better plan for you than He has for you. And because you don't trust Him, every time He starts to move something around to get greater growth, you chagrin, you hesitate, you procrastinate. "No, you're not going to touch me." Okay, all right. You want to grow wild? You want to do your own thing? You don't want to have any shape. You don't want to be attractive. You just want to have wild growth happen in your life and become your own expression. "I will be my own expression." Well, what is that going to look like? Isn't that what you did before you came to Christ? Before you got connected, weren't you your own expression? So finally you get connected, you got this living water pumping through, and now we're beginning to see great growth. You go, "Here's what I like to do, and I'm not really sure. I'm not really where I'm supposed to be. I'm not really sure what church I'm supposed to go to. I don't know, should I speak in tongues? Should I speak in tongues? Am I an Arminianist? Am I a Calvinist?" He starts to go, "Well, let's do this. Well, let's do..." No, leave me alone. I don't want anyone telling me what to do in my life. I mean, there's not going to be no pastor, no priest, no teacher, no trainer. You mean you're just going to grow wild? And I know some people in spiritual circles that are kind of like a wild branch. You know, wherever there's a fire, wherever there's something new and something fresh, there is no stability. They're not rooted in any congregation. No, instead it's from this church and that church and this church. And hey, so-and-so's at the stadium. He's throwing his coat around and knocking people over. And guess what? I got this new Bible study tape, $69.95. I can be my own prophet. Let me prophesy over you. What are you doing? There's nobody ever taking time. Stay still. I'm gonna do this, okay? Do what? It's the next word, man. Look at me, at the scriptures when we read John chapter 15 and verse... Wait a minute, what does it say in verse 2? "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more. The next word, if you're taking note, is separation. Husband looks and he goes, I'm sorry, this you've been growing here for, it took you a couple of months to get involved in that relationship, but this relationship has to go. Ah! What did you just do to me? Well, one, I got my pliers caught in your, no, here we go. We got it right here. This is that. And who is this? Let me tell you who this is. This is something that he had to prune from your life because, quite honestly, it was no good for you. Now, keep in mind, because he's the husbandman, you're going to have to trust in him more than you trust in yourself. And when he comes into your life and says, there's something I need to cut out of your life that you might think is great growth. Hey, look at what's happening in my life. I see it as a wild branch, and I'm trying to get form to this. I'm trying to get a look to this that would be much more attractive. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to clip this. Don't clip that. Why? Do you know how long I've been going out with him? I know how long you've been going out with him. But this is like one of the first that has to go. Because I don't know if you understand this, while he's there, and here's what I need to say to you sisters, is I clip this guy from your life. Some of you, male and female, are involved in relationships right now that you know are not good relationships for you. Separation is simply, as the scriptures put it, and you can jot this down, 1 Corinthians 15:33, a matter of you being deceived. And here's what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. This is bad company. And bad company, or as another translation puts it, evil company is going to corrupt good habits. Why? God is trying to do a work in your life, and he's trying to trim things and make you more attractive in appearance and in purpose. And as he's trying to cause you to really look like and be like something that he knows you want to be because he made you, you're hanging on to things that shouldn't be there. He says, hey, this guy's going to have to leave your life. You go, no, he's been a friend for how many years? Yeah, but he's not a very good friend. He's giving you a hard time about your Christianity, and every time you talk about spiritual things, he makes fun of you. If he does not want you to go to heaven, but would rather you live like hell, do you think that's a good person in your life right now? And if, in fact, this is somebody that you so hang with that it's actually stopping you from hanging with the person who is supposed to be that right person in your life, let me say, sister or brother, quite honestly, don't expect Mr. Right to come in your life if Mr. Wrong is still there. Why? Well, because if Mr. Right meets you, he says, hey, tell me about yourself. And there you stand, hey, how's it going? And you go, who's that? Oh, we're just friends. You're just friends, huh? Well, tell me about his spiritual life. Well, he's not that spiritual, and I'm hoping someday he gets saved. And if he gets saved, I might be interested in him. But no, he just hangs out. He's just there. He's just always there. Well, do you know what? If I'm a spiritual person, I may not think as highly about your faith because it appears to me you're compromising. But you're looking for Mr. Right to just pop into your life and be willing to deal with all your compromise. But you don't want me to compromise. So in other words, you want a really holy guy, but you don't want to be a holy girl. And so while you're being unholy, waiting for somebody to holy, God says, no, not until I can cut this out of your life. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to bring you Mr. Right while you've got plenty of Mr. Wrongs hanging out. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away this Mr. Wrong. I'm going to take away this Mr. Wrong. And every time you start doing, stop, what are you doing?
Let me tell you what I'm doing. Just jot it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship does Christ have with the devil? I mean, there are people in your life right now that are not helping you grow at all. And this bad company that's corrupting good morals is not only corrupting good morals, they're also destroying the perfect plan of God. Why? You will not find that in your life while this stuff is there, that you have sufficient strength to be who you are because they drain the living water from you, sucking it for themselves, not doing things with it that God would ordain that is done. For instance, this tree right here, it's got some weeds growing in its soil.
Now, I want you to know that if water comes into this plant to actually fuel this plant and make it grow, those weeds are taking some of that water away for themselves. In the same way tonight, I'm trying to water the flock of God. Now, I'm giving you water, but how quickly it leaves you is going to be dependent upon where you go from this work of God into the world. So if you go to some really God-forsaken place tomorrow morning, slowly, slowly, you go, I was all filled up last night at Calvary Chapel, and now it's... You can't wait for Saturday night. Why Saturday night service? There you are. But what happens? As much as you're drinking in, you're also leaking out because the world continues to cause you to compromise and nothing's staying or sticking. Why? You're not holding it like a container. It's not bubbling out of you. No, you're just constantly being drained by all these people in the world. Hey, you got to do this and you got to go here and you need to smoke this and you need to drink this. So you get filled up only to be emptied and filled up only to be emptied. Some point in time, we have to let God come in and go, okay, I'm going to clip a few of these things and it's not going to last very long. No, we got to dump this here. This is it. Okay, we're going to clip this, and we're going to clip this, and we're going to take these out. Now, here's sometimes what we do. We say, okay, Wednesday night, I'm going to say goodbye to him. Goodbye. Hey, I said goodbye to you, but I was wondering, what are you doing Friday night? Oh, what did you say? I was wondering, what are you doing Friday night? Well, I thought you couldn't hang out with me anymore because you went to that Wednesday night Bible study and Pastor Bob told you not to hang out with me. Well, I'm not supposed to love you or, you know, make out. You mean you can still spend time with me? I think I can. No, you can't. What are you doing? What is he doing getting back in your life? Well, here's what happens. All right, leave me. Until I'm really alone some night and there's nothing going on at church, then come on back. No! I said, what are you doing wrestling with the husbandmen? This guy doesn't belong. What? I said, what is happening here? And I see it happen all the time in relationship. God will actually have a guy break up with you for only you to call him and get him back. He actually says, hey, this is it, man. I'm over. If you're going to do that Christian thing, I'm out of here. I am going to do the Christian thing this week. What? What is happening? I tell you what's happening. You're wrestling with what belongs in, on, and of you. And God is trying to prune and clean you because what he knows he has planned for your life. He's a good God. He's a great God. And I have often wondered what a life will look like that's connected and directed where there's been separation from the world. Where we're willing on a Wednesday night to say, God, there's some weeds in my life. Will you pull them out? God says, okay, I'm going to reach in here. Ooh, this one's got a root. Oh, boy, this has been a couple of years. Okay, here we go. Here comes that one. Oh, look, you spent some time with that sin, didn't you? Yeah, that was night after night after night. That was really down in there. But I got it all out, mostly. Okay, now let's keep this away from you. And now this, you kind of miss. It was green and it was around me and it was live. It was breathing. It's like a guy in my life. At least he's alive. And I talk to somebody. I don't care if he didn't know Jesus. He would talk to me in the middle of the night. And I could just have somebody to talk to. No. Now that he's gone, we can plant something else there. Do you want to plant a flower there? Do you want to plant something that's fruitful? Something that's productive? You want to get something else alongside of you that kind of dresses up the whole thing? Look, I got some mulch over here. And if I start to decorate the side with some mulch, we can make this thing look really attractive. In fact, I could do a red mulch thing with some impatience. And I can start to dress the whole thing out where people look at you and they say, hey, you're very attractive. Oh, who are you hanging with? I don't even know you're hanging out with these guys. Those are some good people. With some godly men. Some godly women. You know, and I respect you more because based upon who you're hanging out with. It's a pretty cool thing. You're a pretty good tree. What are you doing Friday night? What's going on? I know what's going on. What's going on is God is trying to teach us and show us